This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We normally broadcast from the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Water Street, but today we're live from street level with a studio audience as Lake Effect wraps up its Project Milwaukee series on food and the economy. It's called What's on Our Plates, and do stop by if you're in the neighborhood over the next hour. We've said this a few times over the past week, but that's because it's a statistic that bears repeating. 1 in 10 jobs in Wisconsin is linked to the food that's grown here. Food has a huge impact on our state's economy. Just this morning, for example, came the news that cheesemaker Sargento will spend $12 million to expand its facility in Plymouth. I'm sure a few statistics will be thrown around over the next hour, but let me point to just a few eye-openers. Wisconsin is first in cheese production, no big surprise there, but how about this? We're first in cranberries, snap peas for processing, and everything from milk goats to mink pelts. 95% of all the ginseng grown in the United States comes from Wisconsin. We're second in butter, third in potatoes, and fourth in maple syrup. And yes, this is a tough segment to do if you haven't had breakfast yet. But in an era in which people are saying they want a stronger connection to the food that reaches their plate, it means that even if you're not necessarily an organic foods devotee, you can still very easily eat local in Wisconsin. But what does the future hold for Wisconsin's food economy? We have a panel of guests with us here this morning who each have a unique perspective on the issue, and let's meet them now. When you think about food in southeastern Wisconsin, it is hard to leave sausages out of the equation. Jack Belke is the Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Clement's Sausage. The company has been making brats and other sausages, which have been finding their way across the country and at places such as Miller Park for decades. Welcome to Jack Belke.
Thank you, Mitch. I'm glad to be here.
Paul Dittman is the Deputy Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Before that, he headed the Wisconsin Farm Center, the office that works with farmers in crisis, but also with new farmers. Paul Dittman, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you, Mitch.
Nick George is the President of the Midwest Food Processors Association, representing food processors in Illinois, Minnesota, and Wisconsin on a variety of issues ranging from pesticide application rules to food safety standards. The association is based in Madison. Nick George, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Shelley Jurowitz is the Vice President for Economic Development for the Milwaukee 7. The organization recently issued a report on the strength and potential of the food-related economy in this region. Jurowitz has a unique perspective herself as a former food scientist. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Mitch.
Well, again, thanks to all of you for being here. The first question that I'd like to get everyone's take on that I think will really get the ball rolling is this notion that we've heard a number of times from a number of people over the course of this week. Is food one sector of the economy that is recession-proof? And let me just start with Jack Belke and work our way across the table.
Well, I've been with Clement's for about 25 years, and we've gone through probably 4 or 5 recessions during that period of time. And in years past or recessions past, I would say that food was pretty much recession-proof, if you will. What was different about this last recession, or you know, some people have said it was almost like a mini-depression, is that we found that while people were spending the food dollars, they were moving down a class of products. So in other words, instead of buying steaks, they would buy hamburgers. So instead of buying premium imported cheese, they might buy processed cheese, things like that. And so what we found is that there actually was a major pullback in dollars. And I'm very close with a lot of people in the industry. And it was across the board, all companies, high-end companies, companies that sell more commodity-type products.
So it's not that people stop eating during a recession, but they eat differently.
Yes, and they would go to different trades of class. In other words, locally, let's say, maybe instead of shopping the high-end stores, maybe they would go to the superstores or maybe to the very large lower-cost formats.
Well, and I want to move down the table, but let me follow up that question with you because we hear a lot about various industries that are affected by the recession, and the example that always comes to mind is a company like Harley-Davidson, which makes a product that is really, for most people, a luxury end product, and when a recession comes along, they can't turn around and start selling their Harleys for $6,000 instead of $20,000, but is a company like yours in a better position to retool and maybe shift production to some items that are more affordable during a recession?
We're very fortunate that we're a full-line processor, so we usually look at the various raw materials and make the play on the one that's most reasonable at the time. Well, unfortunately, they all went up at the same time, mostly due to a weakened dollar, and exports have doubled this year in all the meats out there. So historically, yeah, you could make a statement that, yeah, you know, we would probably be better prepared than a Harley-Davidson. But at the same time, there were outside factors that were different than what we'd experienced. So almost no.
Shelley Jurowitz, does this message jibe with the overall food economy in the Milwaukee region? Are you hearing the same thing from the companies that are out there doing similar things to what Clements is doing?
I think what I've heard that in particular in the realm of manufacturing, which was hit pretty hard, the food manufacturers themselves fared better than a typical manufacturer. So, right to your example of Harley Davidson. So with that said, there was incredible growth in the industry. I mean, you hear Palermo's opening, Northwestern Extracts. So there was a lot of growth happening in this industry during the downturn. And I don't know if any of you saw, but Associated Press last week put out a headline that the food production is a bright spot in the economy. So while it's not fully recession-proof, it does have a level of subsistence to it that it maintains itself through a downturn.
Nick George, is there a particular angle to food processing in this question? I mean, are food processors in any different position than any other food manufacturers during a recession?
Well, the yes and no. I would have to agree with Jack and Shelley's statements. What we saw during the first year of the recession was people were moving down in the food chain a little bit, and they were going to more affordable foods. And so what we found were people weren't buying the steaks, et cetera, but they were hoarding food. And so we actually had a situation where we were concerned that we were going to run out of some canned foods. And if you look at some companies like Hormel or some of the other companies that do canned meats, those sales have actually gone very, very well.
Well, and so does that put pressure on the food producers who are supplying the processors in this case?
Well, yeah, it's welcome pressure.
Well, and Paul Dittman, one of the areas of expertise that your department has is overseeing essentially agriculture in this state. How are the pressures of the recession being felt by Wisconsin's farms? And I mean, it seems like there are dual things going on. It's harder to make a living, but at the same time, demand for things like food doesn't go away.
That's right. And you mentioned the expansion of Sargento, a $12 million project. That's one of more than 20 plants, dairy processing plants, that are expanding or have just recently expanded in the state of Wisconsin, a lot of them doubling production. Foremost Farms in Appleton doubled its or is in the process of doubling its mozzarella production. So on that side of the equation, things are going very well, and that industry has come through the recession in pretty good shape. On the other side, though, I work a lot with dairy producers, and 2009 was one of the worst years in history for dairy producers at the farm level. Milk price dropped by half. We're seeing a lot of the fallout this year. We've had already in the state of Wisconsin in 2010, we've had 36 Chapter 12 bankruptcies. Chapter 12 is part of the bankruptcy code that's only open to farmers, and we're going to hit probably 50 by year's end. That's more than double the worst year in our memory. So it's been good on the processor side. Things are coming back on the farm side in dairy. But then row crop producers, we've got all-time record prices and excellent yields in the state of Wisconsin. So it's really kind of a mixed picture.
Well, and can you talk about why milk prices were so? Why milk in particular was such an issue in 2009 versus everything else? What was happening in that industry?
We've had for years there was very little exports in the dairy processing side of things. In 2007, we saw a big uptick in exports. The supply of milk is. Basically meets the demand, and there's not a lot of elasticity in that. So we lost exports in 2009, and that really caused the price of milk to collapse.
You just mentioned exports, and Jack Belkey, I think you referenced exports at one point. What is the future of growth? Is it in serving more local markets, regional markets, or how large a role are exports going to play in maintaining or even strengthening Wisconsin's food economy? And any of you, please.
Go ahead and chime into that. The Milwaukee 7, when we started to look at where we were going to put our emphasis on both business expansion and attraction here to the Milwaukee region and landed on food manufacturing as a sector that we should be focusing on, we even more so understand that a lot of the food manufacturers are exporting outside the region. So when you're looking at growing your economy, you want to grow the pie of dollars that are available, and that happens by exporting outside the region. So I think the fact that food manufacturers, almost all of them are exporting outside the region. It creates an added value to the emphasis we're putting on that attraction and expansion work that we're doing. With that said, on the exporting side, statewide, $1.1 billion of processed food, value-added food products were shipped out of the state of Wisconsin in 2009. So you can start to see the benefit of that. On the flip side of that, the locally grown is still critically important to what we're doing, and 70 cents on a dollar will stay here in the Milwaukee region on the locally grown side. So I think that the industry is sweet for all of this to take place.
Yeah, I would agree. Just because your export doesn't preclude your taking care of the local markets, and of course, food is local, you know, and we're lucky that we have such a great food industry, a great agricultural industry. You don't have to look too far to eat local, you know, and everything from your meat, your poultry, your vegetables, the whole thing. So, and yet, as Shelley said, we've got a great export market that's just been growing like crazy. And one example of that is the cheese industry. The cheese industry basically remade themselves over the last 5 years, and they're now they're making so many different specialty cheeses and shipping them all over the world.
Well, but that's a terrific point. I think everybody in the world knows, it seems, Wisconsin cheese, but does there need to be more work done to market other Wisconsin foods, both to Wisconsin itself and elsewhere? I mean, even people in Wisconsin don't necessarily know Wisconsin potatoes or Wisconsin cranberries, or does it matter?
I think it matters. I mean, when you're talking about growing jobs here in the Milwaukee region, image is a big thing. And I think we all love our beer, brats, and cheese image, but it's only going to take us so far. So the fact that we have incredible strength in the food ingredients sector, flavoring, sauces, extracts, I think that starts to put a different spin on what people think about residents here in southeast Wisconsin as well as the state as a whole.
Jack Belkey, how big a deal is telling people that you're a Wisconsin company to people who buy Wisconsin?
Well, in the sausage business, Wisconsin is sausage, so it's a very large part of it. It actually gives you credence before you ever walk into a customer or potential customer. The one thing I'll say that to back up what the other panelists have said is that in order for companies to survive, while it's extremely important to support the backyard, the Milwaukee community, the Wisconsin community, it's vital that we grow beyond there because the costs associated with running a business and businesses need to grow. And so our focus, along with every other Wisconsin food manufacturer, has been to find areas to grow, whether we work with the other manufacturers that are here, and the food community is very tight. And so we do work together quite well. We either manufacture products back and forth for one another, or we work as small consortiums to go out there and to get additional business. So growth is automatic. Some companies, we have a lot of growth potential within the states, and that's right now where our primary focus is. And other companies, it's on a global basis.
Is there a role the state of Wisconsin should be playing more than it does now to get the word out about Wisconsin grown, either within or outside Wisconsin?
Oh, sure, you bet. We had, of course, we've had the Something Special from Wisconsin program for years, and that program's really grown a lot the last few years. We've got the Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin initiative. We've had a detriment to selling specialty meats from state-inspected meat processing plants. Now, that was a federal law that prohibited the sale of interstate shipment of meat from a state-inspected plant. That, in the 2008 Farm Bill, that's been eliminated. They're still working out the rule on that. So we still don't have the ability to ship product across state lines. And, you know, we've had a big resurgence in specialty cheese, And it's that's what's driving a lot of this, the cheese expansion that's going on right now. We think that specialty meats are the next big thing.
We need to take a quick break, but we will have more of our conversation about Wisconsin's food economy as our live panel discussion continues on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.